that I don't have to be something that I'm not before my brothers and sisters in Messiah. I can come as just as you have made me, warts and all, oh God, in all my frailty. And in my frailty, then they'll see what? The Spirit of the living God being manifested and Him glorified. Because why do we preach? Why do we teach? It's to the building of the kingdom of God and the building of our brothers and sisters in Messiah. Otherwise, if we're doing it in anything else, it's foolishness and a waste of time. And Father, so now I ask you, anoint these words that I'll be sharing today, and that all will receive your mind on these matters. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today is Shemesh 25, and some of you may be thinking, well, boy, brother, can't you preach on something else? I would rather preach on Yeshua being the servant of the Most High God that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation than any other subject. I'm so in love with Yeshua. Amen? And today's Valentine's Day. And those of you who are single here, and you think, well, I do not have a significant other, that's not true. Yeshua is your significant other. Amen? That's right. He is the lover of your soul. He's the one that gathers your tears and places them in a bottle. He's the one who's inscribed His name upon His hand. That's deeper than a tattoo. He's carved His name. And you know what? As He carves His name into your hand, His blood flows. His cleansing blood flows on that. Think about that. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb when your name has been inscribed on it. Amen? Praise be to His name. Shemesh 25. Asher Intrater has written, there is a development and understanding of God's kingdom and of the nature of God throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. As a member of the people of God grew, so did the understanding of their understanding and their relationship to God. Here are a few significant stages of that historic development. To Noah, Noach, his family, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they were the forefathers of the 70 nations of Gentiles listed in Genesis chapter 10, Bereshit in the Hebrew. And that's another thing that the board said to me. They said a lot of times you'll quote a book, Messianic Jews, and people are searching all over their Bibles. And they were laughing at me. We were having a great time. Because you know, that's part of the situation here. When you receive a correction from a brother and sister, don't take it as an offense right off the bat. Receive it. Recognize you got a relationship with this brother and sister in the Lord. And you know what? They're trying to help you being the best that you can be in Yeshua. And if that's not their motivation, and if their heart is not moved by love, God will reveal that to you in time. So we're to receive correction. Because listen, my brothers and sisters, it is the Lord that chastises us. He chastises us. Why? Because He loves us. And love without accountability is not love. It's worship. Amen? God is not going to worship you and I. He is to be worshipped. He is to be adored. Amen. We're being transformed into His image and likeness of His Son day to day, yes. But He's doing it. We're not. Allow the Holy Spirit to do it in our lives, one with one another. Amen? Praise the Lord. Continuing, to Avraham, Abraham, the relation was to the tribe. Adonai Yeshua wanted to have a man who would know and serve Him by faith. Not by works, but by faith and trust. Understanding, I can do nothing in and of myself unless I'm empowered by the living God to do it. If He's called me to do something, I am a fool. And I'm wasting my time if I don't come to the point of breaking and saying, Lord, if not by Your power, not by Your might, not by Your instruction, not by Your leading, I can do nothing. Because if I do anything in and of my flesh, what does it result. Praise to me. He wants to receive all praise and glory and honor. And that's why he takes vessels like us that are broken and dysfunctional, and he heals us, that his glory shall be revealed in this human flesh. As that human flesh takes the carnal nature of that human flesh and kills it. I'm not talking go out and commit suicide. Please understand this. But this is the process. Every day, our Esau arises in the morning and takes a hold of Yaakov, Jacob, and he just pounds him down. Amen? That's been my experience in my own life. But if I'm preparing and speaking the word and spending time with Yeshua and reading the word, then my Yaakov, my Jacob arises and puts Esau to death, my carnal nature, so that my spirit man arises and walks in unity, fulfilling, hearing the voice of God, because Esau has no time to hear Yeshua's voice. But Yaakov does. He knows his voice. Amen? Let's continue. Adonai Yeshua wanted to have a man who would know and serve him by faith. This would bring both redemption and salvation. Yeshua's literal introduction of his presence, Yeshua, was going to be lived out in the life of Avraham. This revelation to all humanity in every generation yet to come. On one hand, it is impossible to see God. On the other hand, our patriarchs, our fathers in faith, and the prophets did see someone on several occasions. In Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 12, turn there now. Those of you who have Bibles with you. Adonai Yeshua is seen in his person by Avraham, Abraham. Prior to this, Avraham, Abraham, had only heard the voice that he recognized as Adonai Yeshua. Now I want you to turn quickly with me to the Brit Hadashah, Yohanan, John. That's John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. The word of God is revealed from beginning to end. And Yeshua, if we study the scripture, we will see that it is Yeshua is the literal representation of God the Father to us. Otherwise, we don't know the Father. John chapter 10, verse 1. Yes, I tell you, the person who does not enter the sheep pen through the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. But the one who comes in through the gate is the sheep's own shepherd. This is the one the gatekeeper admits, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep, each one by name, and leads them out. After taking out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They never follow a stranger, but will run away from him because strangers' voices are unfamiliar to them. When a rabbi or a pastor is standing before you, you know after a period of time, as you listen to them, and that can be a female. This is not gender exclusive on any account. You will recognize and you'll hear Yeshua's voice speaking through their voice. Let's continue. Yeshua used this indirect manner of speaking with them, but they did not understand what he was talking about to them. So Yeshua said to them, "Yes, indeed, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all those who have come before me have been thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If someone enters through me, He will be safe and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to kill, steal, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life, and life in its fullest measure. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand, since he isn't a shepherd, the sheep aren't his own, sees the wolf coming and abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf drags them off and scatters them. The hired worker behaves like this because that is all he is. He is a hired worker. So it does not matter to him what happens to the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life on behalf of the sheep. Also, I have other sheep which are not from this pen. I need to bring them, and they will hear my voice. They will be one flock with one shepherd, the one new man. Jews and Gentiles being one in Messiah, hearing the shepherd's voice, and they have become now one flock. Let's continue. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. Did you hear that? That's just one of the many reasons why Abba Father loves Yeshua, is that he's laid down his life for us. Let's continue. In order to take it up again, I lay down my life. No one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down of my own free will. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This is what my Father commanded me to do. Hear those words. Our Heavenly Father has commands for us to do. And what are we to do? We're to lay down our lives for the sheep of God. Amen? Let's continue. Again, there was a... That's right, that's a portion I have to... No, the Lord says, no, go ahead. And then there was a split among the Judeans. But because of what he said, many of them said he has a demon. They're saying Yeshua has a demon. All right? And he is what? Meshuggah. He is nuts. He is out of his mind. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the deeds of a man who is demonized. How can a demon open blind eyes? Amen? And you may be wondering, what does that have to do with Abraham? Listen, he heard the voice in Ur of the Chaldees, and he left. He heard the voice in Haran, and he left. And in here, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, he hears the voice and sees the person of Yeshua. Let's turn there now. Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. Abraham had heard about the God of Adam. He had heard about the God of Enoch. He had heard about the God of Noah. And now he's about to meet him. Verse 7. And Adonai, I added this, Yeshua appeared to Avram. Can you imagine what that was like for the very first time? Here is the literal body that he is now seeing before him. The same body that scooped up clay and formed his great-grandfather Adam, who removed the rib from Adam's side and formed Eve, who walked with his grandfather Enoch for over 300 years in intimacy and fellowship. And he was taken up to heaven and lives there to this day. He saw the person who closed the door on the ark, the floating sukkah. This was the one that Abraham desired. Not the gods of his fathers, who were pagans, and they sought after evil and idols. That's what Abraham was drawn from. This is the first recording recording of our father Abraham seeing the great shepherd Adonai Yeshua. This was done because of Abraham's obedience to the voice and command. Lech Lecha. That's the portion in here that we're reading today. It says, get yourself out. Flee from your idols. Flee from the religion of your fathers that is paganism. And come meet the God of your spiritual fathers. Adam, Enoch, and Noah. Get yourself out by the great shepherd Adonai Yeshua. Abraham now receives his reward. The presence of Adonai Yeshua. Remember that day, my brothers and sisters? When Yeshua manifested himself in your lives? This was the day of salvation where Abraham saw his God being manifested. We quickly run, we read that, he appeared, big deal. Are you kidding me? You and I would not be here if he did not appear in our lives and reveal himself to us with evidence that has kept us walking with him to this very day. Let's continue. What was Abraham's reaction to both the covenant, promises, and the appearance? And so let us read now. Chapter 12. Verse 7, and Adonai appeared to Abraham and he said, to your descendants, Hebrew, Lezer Acha, to your seed, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to Adonai who appeared to him. He left the place and went to the hill east of Bet-El, and he pitched his tent there. And with Bet-El to the west, and Ai to the east, he built an altar there, and he called on the name of Adonai. Then Abram traveled on, continuing toward the Negev. But there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down into Egypt to stay there, because of the famine, and the land was severe. What does Ai mean? Ruin. Destruction. What does Bet-El mean? The house of the Most High God. He was in between two places. The places of ruin and the house of the living God. And it says that Abraham went down to Egypt. Did Yeshua tell him to go to Egypt? No. Abraham was operating in his carnal nature, listening to what he thought in his mind was true. And what did Yeshua say to him? Go ahead, Abraham. Go down to Egypt. What does Egypt symbolize? The world. Amen? That's right. So he was going to the world, back to the world. Notice he didn't go back to Ur the Chaldees or Haran. He went to Egypt. Let's continue. When he came close to Egypt and was about to enter, he said to Sarai, his wife, hear now, I know that you're a good-looking woman. Of all days, Brother Frank, you're preaching this on Valentine's Day. That's what the Lord said. Okay, let's go with it. Continue. So that when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they kill me, but keep you alive. Please say that you're my sister, so that it will go well with me for your sake. He doesn't say, my sake. So that I will stay alive because of you. Does that sound like a man of faith? Amen? Not to me. And you may be saying, boy, Brother Frank, you're really bold. Wait till the day when you're walking in heaven and Abraham sees you. He's heard this message. And he says, Frank, come here. It's time, grandson in the faith. It's time for me to bring you into the woodshed. Amen? Every word that we share, we're going to have to give an account. Amen? Does it glorify God or does it glorify us? Let's continue. Time to turn the page. Now, he was telling a half-truth here. This was both his niece and his half-sister. They had the same father, but they had different mothers. When Abraham entered Egypt, the Egyptians did notice that the woman was very beautiful. And Pharaoh's prince, his princes saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. So that the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. He treated Abraham well for her sake in giving him sheep, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female slaves and camels. But Adonai afflicted great plagues on Pharaoh. Notice that. Pharaoh, out of being deceived by our father in faith, because of his deception, believed Abraham and blessed him with the things of the world. And what did God do when Abraham was blessed? He brought a plague upon the person that was blessing, a disobedient son. That's true. That's factual. That's what the scripture says. How often have I or you walked in our carnal nature? We tried to figure things out in our own minds. The Lord said, this is the way, walk therein. Hear my voice, follow after me. I am the great shepherd. But what do? We fall back. We let that Esau in our lives arise and pummel our Jacob, our spirit man. Let's continue here. But Adonai afflicted great plagues on Pharaoh and his household because of Sarai, Avram's wife. Pharaoh called Avram and said, what is this that you have done to me? He is now being rebuked by the king of the world, Pharaoh. A pagan. Amen? Has the Lord ever had you in that place where you've been walking in rebellion? I have. Where the Lord had to use someone in the world to get your attention and rebuke you? I have. We're just like our father Abraham, are we not? Amen. Let's continue. What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Deception. Is that the will of God? Never. We have a God that says you are to walk in truth in all areas of your life. Amen? So, Abraham was now going through Pharaoh's woodshed. Amen? Abraham thought, wow, Adonai Yeshua has appeared to me. And he said, I will be blessed. Yes, you will be blessed, Abraham, as you hear the voice of God and walk in his ways and follow after him. But if you go your own way, another course, I shall deal with you. But I shall bring you back because I love you, but I'm going to hold you accountable. I love that about my Heavenly Father. I have to be honest with you. Because if he wasn't willing to love me to that extent, I would have no hope. For we serve a Father who is what? He's holy. And he desires us to be what? Holy. To walk in holiness. He's made the provision, the plan. We hear his voice. If we'll simply walk in that direction, hear his voice and see him, and have intimacy with him, then we will have all that he has for us. Amen. To his name be all praise and glory and honor. He has sent to us what? The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who is to lead us into what? Into all deception? No, into all truth. And if we're walking in truth in the body of Messiah, brothers and sisters in Messiah, there is unity. But where there's deception, there's disunity. Amen? And that's why the Lord at times has to deal with the disunity in our midst. Everyone goes into the woodshed. Amen? I went in the woodshed last Shabbat, and the board dealt with me on some issues. Some of you may say, well, they weren't really severe. But if I'm not willing to receive from them, my brothers and sisters in Messiah, and I'm walking in my own counsel, you know, I've met men and women of God that will not even hear a word from the Lord. They say, I only hear from Yeshua only. And if the Holy Spirit hasn't said that to me, I won't receive what you share. They're ready for a fall. Don't think that you stand because, brother and sister, you're ready for a fall of your own arrogance. Let's continue. Why did you say she is my sister? So that I took her to be my own wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. This was supposed to be the spiritual man. Remember, in the coming history, where are the descendants of Abraham going to be living for 430 years? Egypt. They will be facing all the same idols that their father Abraham faced. They will see the fallacy of all these gods. And God will send them to them a deliverer in the form and shape of Yeshua to deliver them from the world. Let's continue. Take her and go away. So Pharaoh gave orders concerning him and to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. When we go through times of repentance, when the Lord is dealing with us, know this, he shall restore us. He shall bless us. But Abraham had to confess that he had deceived Pharaoh, the world. What was the Abraham's reaction to both the covenant, the promise, and the appearance? It was this, that he built an altar. I'm now referring to the verses I've already read for clarification, He was declaring before whom? Sarai and Lot. Abraham was being told, I'm calling you as a shepherd. Here is your flock. And along with that, there were peoples from Haran that he had acquired. And these were representative of the 70 nations. Abraham was from what line? He was from the line of Shem. And so through that line, God desired to bless the whole world through a tribe. And that was then expanded to the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's continue. Now let us turn quickly to Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1. Joshua 24:1. As the Lord says to Make sure that the people understand the significance. They have heard that Abraham came out of a household of idol worship. Generational idol worship. Seeking and serving false gods. But with that, he also heard the stories of his fathers of faith. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. And he summoned the leaders, the heads, the judges, and officials of Israel. As they presented themselves before God, Joshua said to all the people, "This is what Adonai, God of Israel, says. In iniquity in times past, your ancestors lived on the other side of the Euphrates River. Terach, the father of Abraham and Nahor, they served other gods." That was his heritage. How easy would it have been for Abraham to remain in Ur of the Chaldees and Haran? But you notice something, if you study the scripture very, very closely, Abraham started hearing a voice because he began to seek the presence of the God of his fathers of faith. And that voice began to speak to him and tell him, "You're to leave." Well, he left Ur of the Chaldees, but his father, Terach, said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I hear a voice of the one true God, and I want to follow after him." And so Terach, he went with him to Haran. If you study closely the scripture, you'll see that this is revealed. It's there in plain sight, but many times we miss it. And so he remained by his father's side in Haran. And there, Terach died. And then Abraham heard the voice again, calling him to a place. And when he entered into that promised land, by and through his obedience, Adonai Yeshua revealed himself. He appeared to him. And what did Abraham do? He built an altar. And this altar was being built out of stones not carved by human hands. Because as I was studying and preparing this message, the Lord gave me a vision in my mind. Judges vision. He said, just as the days that the Israelites were told not to take stones that were chiseled, but they were to take stones that were laying about. Because the altar of God is a holy altar. And so Abraham took those stones and he placed one onto the other. And notice in the scripture there, he did not make a sacrifice. This was a proclamation that he was no longer going to be serving the gods of his pagan fathers, but now he was going to serve the God of his father in faith. And this was a declaration. And now look at the significance, my brothers and sisters. It was between two places, Bet El, which is what? The house of God. And also Ai, which was what was that place? That was a place when the children of Israel entered in the promised land that they faced their very first defeats. In Ai, which means ruin. And so right now, Abraham had placed this altar, this proclamation. I am right here. I'm between the world and ruin, and I'm in between the place of the house of the Most High God. But God still had to deal with him. And that's why he went down to Egypt. And what was revealed to Abraham in Egypt? Don't go by your own cunning. Do not go by your own ways. But go by my ways. And what did it say? The scripture said he went back to the promised land to meet with his God and have fellowship with him. There are times, my brothers and sisters, when we run ahead of the Lord. I've done that. God says, "I've called you to do this thing," and you run ahead of God. You run ahead of your provision and the leading. "Lord, catch up. You said go this way." I've done that. I confess that before you. And the Lord said, "Frank, what are you doing? You're being disobedient. You're not hearing my voice. You're not walking in my provision. Yes, I've told you to go there, but I'm to lead you along the way. Because, Frank, there are lessons along the way here that you need to learn. Amen? I'm in the process now getting trained as an associate rabbi in the seat of Abraham. Amen? This is part of the process I'm on. I'm an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God. I have a certain training, but there's additional training I need to take. I'm currently signed up to take college courses so I can earn a bachelor's degree in Messianic Studies through the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute. I'm getting further training. I need that training. But there are times when the Lord has placed me in places where he says, I will fill your mouth. I will equip you and empower you to do things that are beyond your capability. And I've learned to hear that voice and walk and trust. And to know if I take one step ahead of him, he's going to rebuke me. Amen? So we have to be careful in everything that we do. We have to hear the voice of the Lord. Amen? So I stand before you trembling, knowing that all these eyes are watching me. And they should be watching me. They should be examining my life to see whether or not this is God's call in my life. I've been receiving affirmation and correction. Praise God, that's what I need. That's what all we need in the Lord. Praise be to his name. The Lord says, now finish off in that portion back here. And I'll turn to there quickly. When you do a Torah reading and you do a message and also you do communion, you got a lot of paperwork. So I'm now where I should be. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. That's where the Lord wants me to end today. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Page 1466, if you're in the complete Jewish Bible. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. So, my friends, just as you have obeyed when I was with you, it is even more important that you obey now when I'm away from you. Keep working out your deliverance, your salvation, your Yeshua, with fear and trembling. What is the fear in there? That is worshiping God. Having you fear nothing else but being in the presence and pleasing your Heavenly Father through His Son in the Spirit. With trembling, our carnal nature is trembling because he is being put to death. Let's continue. For God is the one working among you, both the willing and the working, for what pleases him. Can I add, Frank? No, you cannot. It's to please him. You can't enter your name there. If you're pleasing yourself, you cannot please God. Let's continue. Do everything without kvetching or arguing. Knock it off, he's saying. So that you may be blameless and pure children of God. Yeah, but I'm an adult. No, you're a child of God. And if you don't humble yourself as a child, the Lord's going to deal with us. Without defect in the midst of a twisted and perverted generation. That's where you and I are living. Amen? That's our address. We're living in a twisted and perverted generation. And he allows us to live there that we will be calling out to him and walking in the power of his Spirit, hearing his voice. Continue, yes, Lord. Among whom you shine like the stars in the sky. As you hold on to the word of life, if you do this, I will be able to boast when the day of Messiah comes, that I did not run or toil for nothing. That's the heart of shepherd is speaking to us here. Whether he gets paid or not, he does not or she does not care. Because their meat, their passion is to lay down their lives for you and equip you. Yeah, but Brother Frank, that's not what I hear on TV. You're keeping asking me to send money, 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 money. Money can be a god. It can be an idol. But I tell you this, you have met men and women of God who have invested their lives in you. And they have paid the expense that you may be enriched. Those are the true shepherds, both men and women of God. Let's continue. I did not toil for nothing. Indeed, even if my lifeblood is poured out as a drink offering over the sacrifice and service for your faith. That's the kind of guy I want in my life. That's Dr. Howard Morgan in my life presently. He's that person in my life that is pouring into my life. Amen? And Rabbi has been doing it also. And the board is starting to do that. And I believe that you are doing that in my life. I need you. I cannot survive without you. Let's continue. I will still be glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen.